I got here and hearing what God is saying and what God was giving me, I'm telling you, we are overcomers. Amen. And the title of this message is, What Comes After the Coronavirus?
Yay.
I mean, we're not denying that the coronavirus is here.
Right.
But we're denying the right for it to stay here. That's and we're denying right. that the right to operate in our lives, in our families' lives, and those that we come in contact with. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Now, we've been studying about love, and I like my foundation scripture. I can't get away from it. I keep going back to this. Ephesians 3:17 in the Passion Translation says this, Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. I like that.
Amen.
The resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. One thing we've learned from all this coronavirus is that we must live differently. We are to live from the inside out.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. That's the key. We're living from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Calling those things that be not as though they were. Yes. We believe this coronavirus is coming to an end soon.
Yes.
We also believe that God is about to turn what the devil meant for harm to good.
Amen.
Yes.
It's harvest time.
Yes.
There's about to be a great awakening.
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about it, and it's been there, but I'm talking about this awakening is getting more vibrant, alive.
Yes.
Yes.
If you get my drift. So, there's a great awakening. It's time for love to go into action.
Amen.
Again, the scripture says that God is love.
Yes.
Many have asked the question, well, if God is love, why did He allow the coronavirus in the first place? And I'm sure out there in the world, you might have run across people that's thought that. Well, listen, God's love and God is love, then why all this bad is happening in the world? And why God allowed it? The truth is, He didn't allow it. He's not responsible for it. James 1:17 says, Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God can only do good. God cannot produce evil.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So He's not behind the coronavirus.
That's right. He is.
But if the devil wants to try to throw the coronavirus out there, God's going to find a way to turn it around and use it for His good.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
And somebody said, well, yeah, but why didn't God stop it? Because look at all the death worldwide that we've had through the coronavirus. Yeah, I understand that. But I also understand that He also called the body of Christ to pray. And we began to pray. And things began to change.
Yes.
And I want to remind you that if we had not prayed, it would have been a whole lot worse.
Yes.
That's right.
It's because of our prayers, praise God, that allowed God to come onto the scene and begin to turn this thing around.
Yes, amen.
Because we asked Him to. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So they've been asking the question, but I'm telling you, praise God, God has already got it under control. John 10:10 says, The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm coming that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Amen. The coronavirus is a wake-up call.
Yes, it is.
It's a wake-up call for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
2 Chronicles 7:14 says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. Now, I'm reading that verse of Scripture. I'm going to stop right there because Donnie and I both heard it yesterday. We were listening on, I think it was CBN. And I don't know who they were interviewing. I don't know if there was a lady that she saw a year ago that a virus was coming. She began to pray against it. So it wasn't something that took everybody by surprise.
Yes, I've heard of others.
We were praying about, they were praying about, the body of Christ had been praying. And listen, that prayer changes it. This whole thing, that coronavirus was designed to destroy a whole lot more than it did. But anyway, praise the Lord. We must live from the inside out, looking for a spirit moment in the natural world. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, Listen, we have to come along, and as we're out in the world, we have to operate in the natural world, don't we? I mean, how many of you go to a job? Most of us do. And if you're not, you're at home, you're still operating in the natural world. We're operating very much in the natural world. But God is saying that He wants to bring the natural and the supernatural together. So operating in a natural world, what I'm saying is that we need to begin to look for, we must begin to live from the inside out, look for a spiritual moment in the natural world. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:14 in the Passion Translation says this: "So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claim on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it." Hallelujah. Forget the flesh. We don't have to live in obedience to it anymore. "For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, when we taste His abundant life, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit." Let me say that again. "But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste His abundant life. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit." Fear should be, in the life of a believer, the thing of the past.
Amen.
Yeah.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And John, 1 John 4:17 and 18 in a New Living Translation says this: As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. So if there's any fear in us, what do we immediately need to do? We need to look within and begin to apply the love of Jesus to it.
Okay.
To drive it out. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's time as believers to walk in the anointing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Acts 10:38 says this: "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now the Message Bible says this of 37 and 38 of Acts 10. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached a total life change. And that's right, he was preaching repentance, turning around, totally, and going the opposite direction. Total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. Anybody ready for action?
Oh yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He went through the country, helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind you that you are the light of the world.
Praise God. Thank God.
Matthew 5:14 and 16 in the Message Bible says it this way. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hill, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house.
Hey. Amen.
Don't you love this?
Yeah.
Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll promote people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. We let our light shine and we open up to others. Praise God.
Amen.
And some of us are learning to do that. Some of us have a fear of being around people and opening up to them, but God is saying, open up to others. Mm-hmm. Now, how Jesus turned what the devil meant for harm to good. Remember, Jesus always looked from the inside out.
Yeah.
John 14:10 in the Message Bible says this: the words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. He crafts each word we say into a divine act. Every word of God we're saying, praise God, if we're looking from the inside out, should be crafted by the Holy Spirit into a divine act. And God knows exactly how He wants that word to act, and He knows exactly where He wants to send it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8:26 and through 28 in the Message Bible says this: meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayers out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition. You ever get to the point where you just don't know how to pray for a job and you got to get something out? It's like you're pregnant. It's got to come out. That's what he's talking about there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good.
Oh, amen.
When we are talking to someone in the natural, we should be looking from the inside out and asking, is there a God moment here? Every place we go, every conversation we have, we got to take care of things in the natural. I mean, when we're on the job, I know we got to deal with the public. We got to deal with people. We got to take care of the natural thing. But then before we close off that conversation, every conversation we have, praise God, look down in here. And say, okay, God, is there a God moment here? Is there a moment? Is there something I'm supposed to speak? Is there something you want to say? We're living from the inside out. And trust God to say it. I'm convinced of this. If we'll begin to ask that question every time we meet people, praise God, God will begin to show us things. God will begin to show us exactly what to do.
Yeah.
We know He's sending us forth, praise God, into this world. We're a light to the world. And we also know that as these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we need to be looking from the inside out when we're having that conversation. And if we don't ask anything else, and look, here's a perfect opportunity. Inside out, to ask them, listen, I'm a believer. Is there anything before we close this conversation that I can pray with you about? Mm-hmm. Ask the question. Amen? Because we're to operate from the inside out. God's got something He wants to say. And what I'm saying to you is that when we see this natural and the supernatural coming together, there's an explosion for God. Mm-hmm. God's looking for the explosion. We're looking for the explosion, but we're the ones that's controlling how the supernatural and the natural come together, because we've got to learn to live from the inside out.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus was always on offense.
Amen.
And we need to always be on offense. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about in Jesus' life, how He turned the situation around. He turned that which the devil meant for harm, and He turned everything around. Look what happened. Look, go to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read the Passion Translation, and I'm jumping in the middle of it here, and I can't tell you exactly where I am because I put it from the first verse, but I'm jumping down there. And anyway, the Passion Translation says, it says, during Herod's birthday celebration, the daughter Herodias danced before Herod and all his distinguished guests, which greatly pleased the king. So he said to her in front of them all, I give you my oath, ask of me anything you wish, and it will be yours. Because she had been instructed by her mother, she said, I want the head of John the Baptist, the baptizer, here on a platter. This grieved the king, but because of his oath in front of all his guests, he had John beheaded in prison. They brought in his head and displayed it to her on a platter. And she then had it shown to her mother. John's disciples went in to the prison and carried his body away and buried it. Then they left to find Jesus and tell him what had happened. That's the background for what I want you to see. Remember the story well, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We broke in the middle of it. And then upon hearing this, Jesus slipped away privately by boat to be alone. This lets you understand something about Jesus. He did not operate down here on earth as the Son of God. He operated as the Son of Man. He was touched with the feelings and infirmities like we are. Who was John the Baptist? He was Jesus' cousin. He was a cousin that Jesus loved very dearly. He was grieving and he wanted to be alone. And yet, look what happened. But when the crowd discovered he had sailed away, they emerged from all the nearby towns and followed him on foot. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Here's Jesus in a grieving moment, wanting to get alone with God. And yet the crowd followed him. So what's Jesus going to do? Get away from me! Can't you see I'm grieving? Is that what Jesus said?
No.
Oh, come on, folks, you understand. You're just like me. I need this moment by myself. Come back and see me after I'm finished. Give me time. No. We're living from the inside out, and Jesus was too. Amen? And so this is what happened. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion towards them.
Amen.
So he healed all the sick who were in the crowd. The first thing we do, praise God, in the middle of a situation that needs to be changed and we're not happy with and if the devil meant for harm, is we're moved with compassion. Always be moved by compassion. Let me find my place. So he healed all the sick that were in the crowd. Later that afternoon, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "It's going to be dark soon, and the people are hungry, but there's nothing to eat here in this desolate place. You should send the crowds away to the nearby villages to buy themselves some food." They don't need to leave, Jesus responded. "You can give them something to eat." They answered, "But all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." "Let me have them," Jesus replied.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had everyone sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up into the heaven, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread into pieces.
Jesus.
He then gave it to his disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. And everyone ate until they were satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
No one went hungry.
That's right.
They were satisfied. Listen, when you're speaking a word and it's coming from the Lord, everyone will be satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. They picked up the leftovers and filled up 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who were fed, in addition to many women and children. So anywhere in the crowd, there had to be something like 15 to 20,000, all fed by 5 loaves, or 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
That's right.
As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and to go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowd dispersed, Jesus went up into the hill to pray. And at night, as the night fell, he was there praying alone with God. Did Jesus get to do what he wanted to do? He was grieving. And there he was, praying alone to God. He finally got to do it. But first things first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He looked inside and he said, "Okay, Father, I want to send these people away. I'm grieving." But you say, "Have compassion."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. Jesus had finished praying to God. He heard from the Father. He had a time of fellowship with the Father. He had a time of refreshing. His spirit, his flesh, his natural man. And at 4 o'clock he came walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost." Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." That's why we've always got to keep looking from within. Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come on, join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out of the boat, out into the water, and began to walk towards Jesus. But he realized how high the waves were. He became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. And Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. If we ever come to the place where we want to have enough faith, why would you ever let doubt win? We could say it this way: why would you ever let fear have the upper hand? Why would you ever want to run from what God is doing? Why would you want to ever back off from the enemy? He's already defeated. Amen?
Yes, he.
Hallelujah. We don't back off. Jesus was always on the offense. Praise the Lord. And we need to be always on the offense. Glory to God. But you see what happened to Peter. He looked at the natural and saw what was happening in the natural. And he became afraid. What had Jesus just done? And the disciples saw it before they got in the boat. Excuse me. You got to understand something. Jesus did this. He said, "Feed the people there." "Well, we only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are we going to be able to do that?" What had Jesus just done? Performed a miracle. He looked within and he asked the Father, "What am I supposed to do in this situation?" And he did it. He blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, praise God, and he multiplied it.
Yeah.
No, when we're in the boat, praise God, and Peter's out on the water, it's not the time to back off. It's the time to look and say, "Okay, God, you've done a miracle. What miracle do you want to do here?"
Amen.
And if Peter would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, praise God, the miracle would have happened. It happened anyway because Jesus reached down and touched him, and they did walk on the water to go back to the boat.
Yeah.
Now, there's something very interesting here in that story. Peter had to have walked on the water before he got to Jesus because he was far enough away from the boat that he couldn't reach out and touch the boat and grab the boat and save him. He had to look to Jesus. Listen, what I'm saying to you is when you're out there and you're in the natural and you're talking to people in the natural and it looks like everything is going the wrong way and they're trying to pump fear into you, you can't look in the natural, praise God, and look at that way. You've got to look down deep on the inside of you, praise God, and ask God, "What do I do here, Lord?" And speak from the inside out. Glory to God. There's power in that. Hallelujah. Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshiped Jesus. After he said, "What little faith you have, why would you let doubt win?" Then all the disciples crouched down before him and worshiped Jesus. They said in adoration, "You are truly the Son of God." What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win? Now, in conclusion, we must keep our word level high. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
That's what Jim was talking about. That shotgun shell. Our words wrapped in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We keep our word level high. Amen. We keep going back to the Word of God, and as we go meditating on the Word of God, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. We're wrapping our words in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Praise God. As we wrap those words in the blood of Jesus, and we begin to take aim with the Word of God wrapped in the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And we pull the trigger.
Amen.
We don't have to back off. We pull the trigger, and we watch a God moment. We're speaking God's word. We're bringing the natural and the supernatural together. Glory to God. And it's about to be an explosion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Because that shotgun's about to hit something.
Yeah.
And an explosion. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, you are the light of the world. And we have a world that's in fear. And that fear has been magnified by the coronavirus. This is our time to preach the gospel. It's not the time for Jesus to ask the question, what little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win? This is our time to shine. Amen.
Amen.
So, what happens after the coronavirus? We go out there, praise God, and we're having our conversations, glory to God, and then when that natural conversation is over with, praise God, we look down here on the inside.
Yay.
Hallelujah. And God, okay, God, I'm saying in this conversation, and is there anything you want to add? Is there anything you want me to do in this conversation? And then do it.
Yeah.
And then step back and watch God. The natural and the supernatural coming together.
Yes.
And an amazing explosion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That changes the world.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Shotgun shell. Wrapped in the blood of Jesus. And every one of those little babies, the word of God. So listen, we got a job to do. But now we know how to do it. And we think we're in the natural out there, and we finished that conversation, and we don't have time for the Spirit. But God's saying, no more. It's time to ask me if I've got something to add. And then let God add it, and then step back and watch what He does.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to win this world for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm excited, aren't you?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Well, that's what comes after the coronavirus.
Victory.
Yes. Hallelujah. Victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
Victory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.